For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, or by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. It becomes visible. That is, you can see when someone is filled with, for example, excitement. That young couple, they put in that purchase offer for their first time, for their first home, first time home buyers. And there's that nervous excitement as they're waiting to hear whether their offer has been accepted. And they get the call from the realtor a few days later. And, hey, good news, the offer was accepted. And you could just see a person that's so filled with excitement. Or you could see a person who gets filled with disappointment. Perhaps they were trying so hard for a certain position within the company. They did all that they could. But after the different folks were interviewed, they got the news that someone else got the position. And you could see a person be filled with disappointment. You could see a person filled with joy. That four-year-old little girl, for the first time, meets her baby brother. And you just see the joy of that little girl. Or sadness. The phone call comes, and you hear the news that they've done everything, but grandpa's not going to make it. You could see when a person is filled, for example, with anger, lust, a hatred, a jealousy. And I don't condone it, but it is a little funny when you see someone filled with alcohol. I swear, officer. I have maybe two. Anyway, it is comical when you see someone under the influence. Well, God wants us to be filled. As Paul the Apostle said, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I think that that is a wonderful thing for us this year, 2014. I want to be filled with all the fullness of God in 2014. That's my prayer. This was Paul's prayer for the saints at Ephesus, that they would be filled with all the fullness of God. And I know that this is a prayer that is still very current for every generation. I feel that this is a prayer that I have for myself. I pray this for you, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, that's somewhat of a strange idea. The fullness of God. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, one way it could be understood is the completeness of God. Still a little strange? Yeah. Well, I like to illustrate it this way for you. Imagine going to an amusement park, taking someone who has never been there before. Maybe let's just make up this fictitious story. A young person who's maybe 11 or 12, and you as a parent, you take them to an amusement park, where at this amusement park there is water slides, and there are rides, and then there's the shows, the entertainment. And you walk in, and not even 20 feet into amusement park, you see a little arcade, and the kid loves video games, and he wants to go to the arcade and spend his time in the arcade. You get where I'm going. I mean, there's so much. It's like, hey, there's so much here to explore and to be blessed by and to enjoy. And you want to sit and do what you do at home? No, come on. I want you to experience the fullness. And there's so much to the Lord. There's so much to who He is and how He loves us and how He desires for us to experience Him. And God doesn't want us to come short of experiencing Him so much that we're filled with God. That others can say, man, that individual, I see that they're filled with God, with godliness, with Christ-like conduct. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about three things. Three things we can't afford to be lacking in as we move forward in this new year. The first thing is inner strength. Inner strength. The second thing is Christ's presence. And the third thing is God's amazing love. God wants us to be filled with His inner strength. God wants us to experience Christ's presence with us every day. And God wants us to know His amazing love, a love that goes beyond human comprehension. We're going to talk more about these things. Now I draw your attention to verse 14 once again. This is a prayer. Paul expresses his heart's desire as he shares this prayer. And he says, for this reason I bow my knee to the Father. He prays to the Father. And he says of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And here Paul, he mentions this wonderful reality that perhaps we don't even really think about. But once I say it, it's like, oh yeah. He talks about this amazing blended family. This blended family that is a family filled with every nationality imaginable. Every nationality that's here on the earth. In times past, those that are in eternity, and times present. He takes all of these wonderful people that He's drawn by His Spirit, and He's baptized us into His family. And one day, there is going to be this amazing, holy family reunion. And what a glorious day that will be. But he talks about this blended family. This family that's in time and that is in eternity. And we are named by our God. We bear His name. And he says, this is what I want for you. That you would have this inner strength. That your inward man would be strengthened by the means of the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside every single believer. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Let's stop there. I can't imagine how rich, how wealthy that is. When you think about the riches of His glory, think about the glory of God. Each one of you who have experienced the presence of God in a powerful way, think back to that experience where God had impacted your heart with such a love, such a profound love. You felt His presence. Perhaps you felt His mercy. You felt His forgiveness. And there was a sense of awe. There was a sense of just perhaps a feeling of being overwhelmed, but in a good way, of the goodness of God. Now, could you imagine being in the presence of God? Paul said he was there, and he said that he saw things that it would almost be like a, a crime to try to put these things into words. I couldn't imagine. Could you imagine the Mount of Transfiguration? We can read about it, but when they experienced Christ in his glorified state, could you imagine, just imagine being in the presence of the glory of God? That has got to be so. And then what he says is that he prays that God would grant us according to the riches of that glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. I'll tell you, having God come alongside of you and strengthen you in times of great trouble, in times of great uncertainty, is an amazing experience, isn't it? And there's not a day that I don't want to be in such fellowship with Jesus that when that trouble comes, because it's not if, when that trouble comes, that we are so tight that he, by his Holy Spirit, strengthens me to be able to stand firm on his word and do what's right in spite of the pressures and the troubles of life. Who knows what 2014 may bring you, may bring me. We don't know. But one thing we do know is that we have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. And we have an access to such a wealth of resource to be strengthened in our inner person by the power of his Holy Spirit to be able to come, overcome virtually all things. Remember what Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul was a man who knew what it was like to suffer. But he also was a man who knew what it was like to experience a supernatural strength, a strength that you cannot conjure up within yourself, a strength that comes inside of you and it infuses faith within your being and gives you a spiritual vision to see through all the obstacles and troubles of life. I want to draw your attention to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Some have understood this epistle, this letter that Paul wrote to Timothy as Paul's last words. He wrote these words from a Roman prison cell as he was waiting or awaiting his sure execution. Why was he in jail? For preaching the gospel. He was suffering wrong for doing what's right. And that is commendable before God. And he says this in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. And hear his heart on the matter. He was standing before a judge, someone who was going to execute a decision over his life. We don't know all the specifics, but we know this. He had others as his company, his companions, and when he was placed under arrest and as things started progressing forward, that is, in a negative sense, him going to jail, standing before the magistrates, all of his companions, for the most part, took off on him, abandoned him. Have you been abandoned by someone that's very close to you? Someone very close to you hurt you deeply? How do you overcome? How do you find the strength to be able to not hold it against them? And to carry on, to pick yourself up, and to keep moving forward. Well, Paul found that strength in the Lord. To me, that's the only way. At this point in my journey of life, I do not understand how people can make it apart from Christ. Well, Paul, he tells us this, what would it be devastating to many, especially when you're in your darkest situations, darkest hours of life. But listen to the perspective he has. And he said, as he was talking to Timothy, he said, may it not be charged against them. That's beautiful. That's the heart of Christ. That's the influence of God there. And here's the reason why. He says, because everyone else forsook me. True. I pray that God doesn't hold it against them. But, verse 17, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Man, there's no greater feeling than that, huh? And then here's a reason why. See, because there was purpose. Even though Paul was in his final, who knows, days, weeks, could have been less, hours, Paul still lived with purpose. He knew what his purpose was. And here he reveals it. He says, the Lord strengthened me because there was still more time ahead. Whether it was short or long, it doesn't matter. There was still purpose in my existence, purpose in my time. So that the message might be preached fully through me. That, again, his purpose, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Verse 18. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. Preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever. Amen. Not only was there purpose, but also there was perspective. There was that divine perspective. Hey, I have a reason. And not only do I have a reason, I see things in the light of eternity. So these present trials and afflictions and sufferings, they don't weigh me down because they don't take away my purpose. My purpose can be fulfilled even in these horrible circumstances. I can still accomplish what God has called me to accomplish in the worst of circumstances. And I know that my purpose is for God's eternal kingdom. And so I keep that perspective, that divine perspective. Where does strength like that come from? From the Holy Spirit. A person who relies upon the Holy Spirit. That was the first thing. The first thing that we can't live without this new year. We can't live without the strength that God gives. The second thing is Christ's presence. Verse 17, he prayed that Christ would dwell in their hearts. I pray that God would dwell in your hearts through faith. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. I love the way it reads and how it's put, to make his permanent home in your hearts. Christ may dwell in your hearts. That may seem a little foreign to us. What do you mean by that? But I think the Amplified Bible kind of brings a little more clarity. That he will be able to settle down in your heart. Make a permanent home in your heart. And not feel that there's no room for him in your heart. Not feel grieved in the home, so to speak, of your heart. There's a little booklet, perhaps you've heard of it, you've read it, or maybe not, and the title of it is My Heart, Christ's Home. This was put together by Robert Boyd Munger and Andrea Jorgensen. And in this little booklet, it talks about the heart as a home, and it defines different areas of the heart, different rooms and areas, if you would. It's a great little booklet. I recommend that you read it. You can even go online and probably download it for free or listen to somebody read it to you on YouTube. It's been around for some time. But I love how it creates these rooms. One of them is the library of the mind. The library of the mind. The information. Think of a library. Think of all the books that are in a library. What kind of information is running through your mind? Is it the kind of information that is from Christ? Are you filling your mind with the things of Christ? You know, we have a wonderful library. There's 66 books in this library. I love it. It's not just a book. It's the book. It's the book that does amazing things when coupled with faith. It's a book that can not only help you, but restore you, renew you. It renews your mind. It changes you. It's like a bar of soap. It can wash you when you couple it with faith. It's like a loaf of bread when you eat it. It sustains you, gives you life. It's like a pillow where it can bring great comfort and cause you to rest, and bring peace to your heart. The Word of God, so rich, so pure, so holy. There's nothing like this library here. Going back to the illustration of the library of your mind, is your mind a place where Christ can settle in? Christ can feel at home? Another room is the dining room. The appetite. It's the place where you sit down and you eat. Let's look at it as the appetite of the heart. What do you feed your heart, your passions? Do you feed your heart, your desires with the things of this world? Carnal things? Well, I'm sure to some degree you do, but what is really sustaining you? What is feeding you? And in that dining room, is there a spread of junk? Is that a place where you can invite Christ to sit down and have a meal with you, something healthy? Now, we're combining the natural, the dining room, with the spiritual, and hopefully the connections are pretty clear. Another room, the living room. It talks about that as a withdrawing room, a place where you withdraw to, a place where you go to spend time with the Lord. Are you withdrawing into that room? And is Christ's presence in your devotional life? Or the workshop? These are places where there's gifts and talents. Are you allowing God to influence you and help you to use those gifts and talents to bring glory to God? You know, you are so special. There is only one of you. There is no one like you. And you can only accomplish what God has called you to. No one else can do your work. You know that? And God wants to be in that workshop with you. And perhaps some of you think, I can't do anything. That is such a lie. That Satan's just lying to you. You can do so much. A smile is powerful. Making yourself available to serve. Some of you love to be behind the scenes. You know, there's so much behind the scenes ministry that takes place. That's not less. Some of you like to be in front. There's nothing wrong with that. Provided that's what God's called you to do. But the point of it is, hey, whatever your gifts and talents are, Don't think, well, I could see myself doing this, but I don't know. Don't let that enemy come in and discourage you. Allow Christ to strengthen you and encourage you. And while you're waiting on the Lord, because some projects, some things take time to build, make sure that you're changing and you're working, you're conforming yourself as best as you can to what God requires of us as his followers. So that when that time comes, if he has something great for you, and the way we look at greatness, you're ready for it. Or perhaps you're ready now, and it's getting involved in something small. It's taking that first step. Take that first step of faith and trust that God will help you and use you. Let him in. You are valuable. You're not worthless. They're not better than you. You are unique and fearfully and wonderfully made, and God wants to work through you. And then another room, and the last one I'll mention is the closet. What's in your closet? Can Jesus come into the closet and find the closet with some nice pants and shirts and maybe a coat and some nice shoes? What belongs in the closet? Or is he going to open that door and you, oh no, Jesus, don't go in the closet. You know, the closet is that area where, you know, we like to hide things. We don't want anybody to see. I don't remember whose house it was, but if you're here, I just don't remember who it was, so I don't mean to. But they were concerned because they took everything and threw it in the closet. They cleaned their house and everything, but the closets were a mess. And I remember them voicing that. And that's so true. Isn't that what we do? When we have guests coming over, we'll do all the surface stuff, make the house look good, but don't open that closet. The fact of the matter is that Christ desires to be with you and me and do this life together. The second thing we cannot afford to miss out on is having Christ as a strong, abiding presence in our life. And the last thing is God's amazing love. God's amazing love. We can finish reading that verse 17. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, that is, realize with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. You know, love shows itself strongest when it's put to the challenge. You know who I've challenged the most apart from God? I've challenged their love more than anyone else. No, it's not Nina. It's been my parents. My parents. I put my parents through a lot of baloney, especially my mom. And you know, my mom showed me a love that's probably the closest kind of love to God's love. Now, when it comes to God, there was many, many years I was an enemy of God. I didn't see myself that way. When I came to know the truth, I realized I was an enemy of God. And I tested that love. But you know, no matter how far I was from God, that love, the love of God, reached me. That is amazing. When you think about how the love of God has reached you, that is an amazing love. There is no love like the love of God. Some have put it this way, and I quote, though we are incomplete, God loves us completely. Though we are imperfect, he loves us perfectly. Though we may feel lost and without compass, God's love encompasses us completely. He loves every one of us, even those who are flawed, rejected, awkward, sorrowful, or broken. Another quote, and I love this, it just hit me so hard when I read it. So simple and yet so true. He still loves you. He still forgives you. And you're still his. That is amazing. Now, Paul in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation for greater clarity, says, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever, be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Such an amazing love. And Paul, he prayed that you would be filled with the fullness of God. And the reason why he prays this, he prays that you, by the Holy Spirit, would be strengthened in the inner man. That you, by faith, would experience the presence of Christ taking more and more of a home, becoming more and more at home in your hearts. And that you, through experience, because he says that this love of God, you cannot receive it or experience it by the intellect, because it doesn't make sense. Because the question is how can such a wonderful, loving, amazing God love me? It doesn't make any sense. And the only way that I can experience God's amazing love is not through the intellect, but through experience. It's kind of like the car. I don't understand how a car operates. You could explain it to me all you want. I'm still not going to get it. So after service, I don't want to waste time having you explain. But I'll tell you, I experience that a car works. I don't need to understand it, but I experience it in great ways. It got me here this morning. And the reason why he prays all these things is so that you would experience the fullness of God, so that there would be nothing lacking in your relationship with Christ in 2014. God doesn't want us to be lacking in anything concerning our relationship with him, and that whatever may come, because we are strengthened in the inner man, because we have the presence of God working in us, and he is at home in us, we sense his presence, and because the love of God keeps blowing us away, we're able to overcome anything that comes our way. And all of that is so that we can bring glory to God. It's not me. It's not you. It's Christ in us, who's working in us. And he is our hope of glory. Well, the ushers are going to pass out the elements. I still have so much more to share with you. So I'm going to ask the ushers to move quickly as they pass out the elements. Please, no spills, no thrills. You can go ahead and begin. And as they are passing out the elements, we're going to partake in just a moment together. I'd like to read to you, or perhaps better said, read over you, the verses that we looked at this morning. And I'd like to read over to you a few other verses. And I want to engage your mind, and so this is going to take some effort on your part. Please give the Word of God your attention, even though there are distractions going on around us. Try not to miss what I'm about to read. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, some of you at this point, you may be thinking of a new year, and perhaps you're optimistic, but you think also of the past, and perhaps some of the past is coming into this new year. That's just how it is with some things. And for some of you, you might be having a hard time seeing that you can experience the completeness of what God has for you. You're looking at the obstacles. You may be thinking, yeah, but what about? Yeah, but I did. Yeah, but look at what they and how. But listen, we're not over. It's not over. Listen to what Paul says. He says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God can do it. God can do much more. Much greater. He can do above all that we are limited. We are even limited. Think about how many things you can ask for. It seems endless, huh? If you're a parent and you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. It seems like what people can ask for is endless. God can do above what we can even ask for. The good thing is that God knows what's best for us, and he will answer those requests in three ways. Yes, no, or wait. And then think about how far you can go in your thinking. And some of us, we go so far in our thinking, but in such a negative way. And earlier I talked about how Paul had a perspective, a divine perspective, because he was being influenced by the Spirit of God. Let the Word of God influence your hearts. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. According to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And so we come to the communion table. Maybe you're lacking in strength. Maybe you feel you've grieved the presence of Christ away. And maybe you need a fresh touch of the love of God. I hope that God's word reminds you that he loves you and that you're very special to him and that he's with you. Remember, these things are through another means. That is, the inner strength comes through the Holy Spirit. The presence of Christ comes through faith. The love of God and understanding the love of God comes through experience, not through the intellect. Remember, it comes through. It's almost like this, and I'll close with this analogy. In a will to a child, there's given by a grandparent $10,000 to use at that child's discretion. But in that will, there's also a clause that the grandparent will give that child $50,000. And the way that they can get that money is through the educational system. You know how grandparents think. They want to help their grandchildren. So you can get that $50,000 if you go through 4 years of college and get a degree in anything. After, that money's yours. So there are some benefits that just come in that illustration, but there are other benefits that come through another means. So if you want to experience that inner strength, it's going to come through the power of the Holy Spirit. Rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to experience the presence of God, it's going to come through you relying upon Christ. And by relying upon the Spirit of God, relying upon Christ, you're going to experience the love of God that's going to continue to blow your mind throughout this new year. Actually, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to what God has for us this new year. But having said these things, let's pray and you can partake. Father, we come to you thanking you for your dear son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we ask that you would have mercy on us. Lord, I pray for anyone who's here who has not made a commitment to you. I pray, as your word says, today is the day of salvation, that they would right now, in the quietness of their own hearts, ask you, Jesus, to forgive them of their sins, that they would just trust in you. As Lord, we all are sinners. We recognize that we are sinners. I pray that they would cry out to you for that forgiveness and mercy and commit their lives to you. And Lord, for all of us, as we partake, we pray that you would continue to cause us to be reminded of what you did on the cross. You shed your blood on the cross for our sins because you love us. And we also remember the fact that you are coming again for us, and we partake in remembrance of you. Let's partake.